Turn in your Bibles. We will read this morning from Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 13 to the end of the chapter. As Pastor Greg completes his series this morning on in the book of Malachi, it's been a very instructive series, learning about God and our response to Him. And so today we will complete this series. Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, and we will read to the end of chapter 4. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge, or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Greg. As he said, we have been the last several weeks, and we'll conclude today our series on Malachi, which we've called Authentic Faith. Some think that his name is pronounced Malachi. He was the Italian prophet. But no, this is Malachi. He's a Hebrew prophet. I got that joke from my Old Testament seminary professor, Dr. Walter Kaiser. And he said, and that stuck with me, I said, someday I'm going to use that. And so I get to. But he said he knew he was in trouble one Sunday when he was at a church preaching from the book. And he told that joke, and nobody laughed. They thought that's how he pronounced his name. He really was an Italian prophet. And he said, no, he's not. I'm glad we've spent some time in this book. I mean, can you imagine going to heaven and meeting Malachi? Hi, I'm Greg. Oh, I'm Malachi. Who? You know, from the Bible. I wrote a book in the Old Testament. Didn't you read it? You know how embarrassing that would be if we when we get to meet Malachi and we never read what he wrote. Well, that's one book out of 39 from the Old Testament, and there's more in the New Testament. So we're working our way. If you've been with us, you've kind of have seen the pattern or the rhythm of sort of these discussions that God and the people of Malachi's day are having, where God will make a statement and then the people sort of question that or even object. Well, what do you mean, God? We don't do that. Or tell us more about that. Huh? What? And then God gives an answer. He says, well, let me explain. Let me give you a little more detail. Well, here's what he's going to talk about today. Our faithfulness. And the question is it futile to be faithful? Does it really pay to do what God asks you to do? Does my obedience count for anything? I don't know if you've ever felt that way, right? I'm trying to have a godly marriage. Is it worth it? I'm trying to be a faithful employee at work, right? Tomorrow's Labor Day, where we as Americans honor and acknowledge the value of work and workers. The Bible values that greatly. And you are trying to live your Christian faith and be just a faithful employee. Or maybe you're the boss, you're the employer. Does that even count? You're trying to love your neighbor. You're trying to live your faith where you live, where you work. Is it worth it? And maybe there's really no difference between Christians and non-Christians and how they live their life. Maybe, and we'll see, the people's objection, God, it doesn't pay. In fact, non-Christians are sort of getting away with stuff, and it doesn't seem like you care. And we've already talked a bit about that. We're going to contrast the faithless with the faithful. What does that look like? And again, the question is it futile to be faithful? Does it pay to serve God? Well, I'm going to spoil it for you because I'm going to tell you the answer right in the beginning. No, it's not futile to be faithful. Yes, it does pay, in a sense, to serve God. It's worth it. It's always too soon to just quit and give up and say, it's not worth it. So what I want to do is I want to look at three questions here that kind of help us as we walk through our verses here. In your bulletin, there's an outline if you like to take notes or fill in the blank just to keep you going or interested. But before I do that, I'm going to need some help. So would you just pray with me once again here, and we'll just ask God to bless our time. Lord, we are here. Thank you. You are here as well, and we need to hear from you. Thanks that you know exactly what each one of us needs to hear today. And so I pray that my words about your word would really communicate, that you'd open our minds and our hearts and our lives to speak into. So, Lord, here we are. Speak to us. We pray for our sake and for your glory. Amen. So three questions. First one, what's the difference? That is, faithful and faithless. What does that look like, that contrast, that difference? What does that sound like? How does that sort of just show up in everyday life? Well, let's start with the negative. Let's start with those who are false. That is, they're saying false things. They're believing false things. You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. And you ask, well, what have we said against you, God? We could stop right there. And that would be an interesting thought, that the things that we say, whether flippantly or quietly or whatever, God hears those, doesn't he? Now, we sort of know that, but God says, you've spoken against me. Well, what have we said? You've said it's futile to serve God. What do we get out of it? It just doesn't seem to work. They're saying harsh things. Probably they're murmuring or gossiping or complaining, not really taking it to the Lord, but they're talking among themselves. And even they claim their innocence. What? We haven't said anything. Come on, God. What we have said or done, we're off the hook. God says, no, wait a minute. let's think about this. You're even saying, what do we gain? What do we profit? We're trying to carry out what God wants us to do, and it's really not worth it. And then they sort of have these doubters sort of have these three beatitudes. Verse 15, blessed are the arrogant. Blessed are the evildoers, because they prosper. Blessed are those who put God to the test, because they get away with it. Can you hear that? Well, it doesn't really pay to do what we should be doing. And they challenge God, maybe God and his word, God and the truths and the principles. Things like, you reap what you sow. And they're kind of selfishly saying, it doesn't prosper me. That's sort of self-centered, not God-centered. That's the faithless. How about the faithful, the upright? It says, those who feared the Lord, they talk with each other. They kind of talked about this. Hey, what do you know, let's think about these things. Let's talk about our faithfulness to God. And they kind of wrestle with the questions. Well, the Lord listened, and he heard them. And how does God respond? All sorts of things. He says he does hear. He does listen. He is watching what you do and what you say. And he remembers you. A scroll of remembrance written in his presence. Now, God doesn't really need to have a giant scroll, or, well, let's be updated. He has this giant computer that everything's on. God doesn't really need that, right? It just sort of pictures God's omniscience. He knows. He knows what you do. Every time you refrain from evil, from gossip or criticism or taking the name of the Lord in vain, he knows that. He knows when you open up your home to somebody, or you reach out to a neighbor, or you try and share the gospel with somebody. Last Sunday, several of us from church were downtown for dinner with 1,000 people. Have you ever been to dinner with 1,000 people? Well, that was Sunday night, downtown Northfield. Northfield shares, and some of us helped serve and helped host a table and did well. Does God even care about stuff like that? Does he know? Well, it says, yeah, he's keeping track. And he claims us. He says, on that day when I act, they'll be my treasured possession. My children, I treasure them. I value them. I'm proud of them. And I will spare them of the judgment coming. God, do you really know the difference? Verse 18, yes. You will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who don't. There is a difference. And God sees the difference, and he knows the difference, and he's going to judge the difference. So is it futile to be faithful? Is it vain to serve the Lord? No, it's not. Well then, here's a second question. What is my destiny? Now he's going to look to the future. He's looked at the past, sort of how people live their life, the faithless and the faithful. Now let's fast forward to the future. He's going to talk about the day of the Lord. Now that's that phrase in the Bible, that's not a 24-hour period, but a longer time period where Jesus comes back, he returns to judge. Well, let's again look at the difference. The faithless, what's that like for the non-Christian when Jesus comes back? So surely the day's coming, and it's going to burn like a furnace. They're going to be like stubble. Now, what's stubble? Stubble is sort of the unusable part of grain. And it only lasts seconds, really, in a furnace or an oven. So it's like a root or a branch, the extremities of a plant, that's going to be destroyed. It's going to be like a fire. Now, earlier in chapter 3, we won't look there, but we saw that for the Christian, it's a refining fire. We're not destroyed by that. But here, it says it's going to burn like a furnace. Now, of course, we realize from Scripture, it says God doesn't want people to perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but all to come to repentance. So he gives us warnings. And he's patient, and he sends people out to share the gospel. This idea of judgment and hell, that should be a warning to non-Christians, but it's a motivation for us believers as well to share the gospel. Let's not have these people experience this. Well, that's for non-Christians, judgment. What about us? What about the faithful? But, here's the contrast, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you can see that it's not talking about an inanimate object, but a person, the Lord himself. And it doesn't take much to see that this Son, S-U-N, is really the Son, S-O-N, of righteousness. That the Son of God, it says, it brings warmth to your heart when your heart's cold. It helps your life when life is bleak, what we sang earlier. It brings health when your soul is sick. And I like these expressions. I had to think about them a little bit. You will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Those of you who raise cows, I'm a city guy. I'm not really a farmer, but I'm told that oftentimes, even especially in the winter, when the cattle are all sort of penned up, and then finally in the springtime they're let out into pasture, that calves will actually leap. The other day I read to our granddaughter, the cow jumped over the moon. I don't think they can jump that far. But apparently, and can anybody nod their head that yes, calves can actually, they kind of jump around and they kind of get excited. Wow. And then it says, then you will trample on the wicked like ashes under your soul. Not in vengeance, but I think finally in joy that, oh God, you're finally bringing things to a close here. You're finally, judgment time has come. Oh, finally. God, you're going to make everything right. So there's the destiny. But how does that help us? How does that help you and me be faithful? Well, let me give you a couple quick ideas. One, I think, is just the justice of God. That God will come and he will judge the guilty. The wicked are not getting away with murder. May seem that way, but God will judge. So don't envy them. You're not going to want to change places when this day comes. God is just. He is paying attention. His justice will prevail. Now, in the meantime, with this warning, we can have joy. Maybe we're not being so faithful. Maybe we need to, like we talked about last week, kind of repent, just kind of change our attitude and our action and start being more faithful. Okay, God, thank you. I need that correction, that admonition. fashion. And then also this brings us some confidence and hope, doesn't it? That we who revere or fear, we obey God, we follow God, we can have confidence of all of God's promises here. So don't be envious of the wicked, because it seems like they're just getting away with it. And God's not paying attention. No, don't jump to that conclusion. And when your reward doesn't seem to be coming, wow, nobody's paying attention. Is this really worth it? Be more patient. Hang in there. Realize, yes, God's watching, and he's going to reward you. Now, maybe that may not even be here on earth. That may be in heaven. But you can be confident. Even when you're suffering or going through tough times, God will honor that. So is it futile to be faithful? No. No, it's not. It's always worth being faithful. And I trust that even here at church, hopefully you have found a place to serve and contribute and serve God and serve the rest of us. Lots of different ways, of course. But sometimes you may think, man, is this really worth it? Nobody's paying attention. Does anybody really care if I do this or not? Does God even care if I do it or not? Well, we do care, and God specifically and especially cares. So be encouraged to be faithful. There's a big difference now between being faithless and faithful. And ultimately, the difference is going to be even more drastic. So here's our final question. What are my directives? We looked at the past. Were you being faithful or weren't you? And then he fast forwarded to the future, your destiny. Hey, it's going to impact eternity. Well, then what about in the middle? What about the present? What about right now? What can help you and I to be faithful? I don't know about you, but I need some encouragement in that, some motivation and help. Okay, God, where do I look to be faithful? Last verses give us two directives. First one is the word of the Lord, the Bible. Here it says, the law of my servant Moses, kind of a summation of the whole Pentateuch, the first five books in the Bible, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You had that from Moses. And then, of course, Israel had the Old Testament, and today we have, right, all 66 books of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he says, remember them. Now, remember means bring to your mind and kind of in focus and application to what you're doing. So if we think, is it really worth faithfully serving God and doing what I'm supposed to do? And we go, oh yeah, I better remember what the Bible says. Now, God's word tells us a whole bunch of things about what we should do, why should we do it, how we should do it, right? And believers, when we're Christians, we want to know God's will. And we want to do God's will. Just think of some of the subjects that in four chapters here, Malachi is a pretty short book, right? I mean, Isaiah is another prophet, 66 chapters. That's pretty long. Malachi is shorter, still a prophet from God, still helpful to us. But think of some of the things that, if you've been with us, that Malachi's talked about being faithful in our worship, in leadership, in our marriage, with our words, with our giving. He wants us to be faithful. Now, it's hard to remember God's word if you never read it, right? If you don't know what's in here, it's pretty hard to remember. So we need to read God's Word. We need to study God's Word. We need to memorize God's Word. We need to get God's Word into our life, in our mind, and our heart. 2 weeks from now, our fall ministry year kind of kicks off. And so you will have more opportunities to let God's Word get into your life. After our worship service, there's groups, children, youth, and adults, to be able to study God's Word. There's growth groups for adults. These meet different times and different days of the week, mostly in people's homes in a small group, where you study God's Word together and you're encouraged about these things and you talk about it and you help each other grow in application and obedience. As was already announced, you know, youth group starts this Wednesday. You know, another chance to get God's Word into your life so that when the challenges of life hit you, you can remember God's Word. So the word of the Lord, that's a directive for us. That helps us be faithful and stay faithful and know what we're supposed to be faithfully doing. Word of the Lord. And then finally, the last verses are another motivation or directive is the day of the Lord. Now, he's already talked a little bit about this, but he just told us about what in the past, what was commanded. Now he's going to look forward to the day of the Lord. He talked about Moses in the verses before, and now he's going to talk about another guy from the Old Testament, Elijah. I will send the prophet Elijah. Before the day of the Lord comes, there's going to be some warning and some preparation, and somebody named Elijah. Moses and now Elijah. We won't turn there. But do you remember in the Gospels on the Mount of Transfiguration? That is, Jesus and a couple of the disciples went up this mountain, and Jesus' appearance was transfigured. It was changed. It was he looked different. And there were two people that appeared, and they were talking together with Jesus. Do you remember who those two guys were? Moses and who? Elijah. And this is I was thinking about this as we were driving here this morning. This is a little rabbit trail, but how did they know it was Moses and Elijah? Because they had name tags, said who they are. They recognized them from their pictures. They introduced themselves. No. Somehow, these two guys from heaven appeared with Jesus, and the disciples recognized him. Will you recognize each other in heaven? I think you will. Now, what exactly will you look like, and how all that works, I'm not sure. But they knew that that's who they were, Moses and Elijah. Now, not Elijah the Tishbite. He was from that part of the country, from 1 Kings, but it sort of opens it up to a succession of Elijahs. Jesus said in Matthew 11 that John the Baptist fulfilled Elijah's role in helping prepare the way. And he said that John was Elijah if the people were willing to accept it. An Elijah-like prophet. Go even further to the very end of the Bible, the last book, Revelation. In Revelation 11, there are two witnesses. We won't go into all of this, but one of them seems to be another guy that's very similar to Elijah. He's not named that specifically, but there is reference to something that the original Elijah did, where he shut up the heavens so there was no more rain. That was a miracle and prayer that Elijah, the prophet, had. And now here at the end, right before, you know, as Jesus is kind of coming back and things are coming to a head, this Elijah is going to help What is he going to do? Well, he's going to preach. And what is he going to say? He's going to tell people to get ready, to repent. Jesus is coming. It's really close. And Elijah is a good example because Elijah was faithful even when some of the other Old Testament prophets were in hiding. Remember Queen Jezebel? She was on the prowl trying to kill off the prophets. Elijah was scared too, but he wasn't one of some of the prophets hiding in the cave. He was out preaching the gospel. This is the last verse in the book. And because Malachi is the last prophet and the last book in the Old Testament, this is the last verse in the Old Testament, verse 6. He will turn the hearts of their parents to their children, the hearts of the children to their parents. Oh, that's good. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Well, that's kind of a bummer to end the whole Old Testament on. And so there's a Jewish tradition